Everything changes when Jesus becomes Lord of your life. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Balchapel explains what it means to have new life in Christ.
We were miraculously taken back to the work of the cross when we got saved. And everything that happened at the cross is now fully brought into my life, and I'm identifying with it. I'm immersed in it. I am His and He is mine, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And until we get a hold of that fact that the resurrected Christ now lives in us, we're not going to have new life every day.
The single most important event in a person's life is the new birth. Yet this is also one of the most neglected doctrines in the church. In our series, New Life Today, we'll discover what happens when a Christian becomes born again. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Balchapel, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Living for God is not only our sacred privilege as Christians, but it is the most fulfilling, rewarding life possible. In the heart of every Christian, God has placed a compelling desire to live for Him. And now, here's Dr. Balchapel with part two of a message called Experiencing New Life Today.
So God says, I want you to live not the old life, which is symbolized in the burial. I want you to live the new life, which is symbolized in the resurrection. I want you to have resurrection life every single day. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things shall become new. And I don't care what the old things are. A friend of mine just this past week had a wedding ceremony for a man that had had lots of sexual identity problems and wasn't sure who he was and had a life of sin in the past that was quite sad. But something happened to him. He got saved. And he got discipled and he began to grow and he began to mature in Christ and he met a beautiful lady and they were married this past week. Why? Because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, you see. If any man is in Christ, he's not going to go back to his old way and say, well, I'm under grace, I'm going to get my old boyfriend. No, no. If someone is in Christ, old things pass away. All things become new. Notice, if you would, in Romans, turn over just a few chapters, jump ahead to chapter 8, verse 9. This is a wonderful verse for many reasons. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. By the way, how many of you believe your body's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay. So if the Spirit dwells in you, notice this now, but in verse number 9, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So I want you to see that if you're saved, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And according to verse 9, the Spirit of God dwells within us. So this is our new nature. We have been born again from the inside out. So I understand this, that legalism is not the answer, just making a set of rules. License is not the answer, just doing whatever I want to do. The only way to live the Christian life is with resurrection power, the presence of the Holy Spirit leading me and guiding me every day. And yes, there have been churches that are too list bound, and now there are some that are too much involved in this license or libertine philosophy. And what we've got to come back to is living the Spirit-filled life. If you're saved, let the Spirit of God guide you each and every day, and you will experience new life every single day because the Holy Spirit of God lives within you. You see, this going to the extremes of grace will only bring bondage. This idea of having to live by a list only brings bondage. But if you're living in the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom and liberty and truth that will guide you each and every day. And so the Bible says that we have a new resurrected life. Now, that's our first point. The problem has to be addressed. Because he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And somebody could say, teacher, 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 does that mean I can just abound in sin now that grace is abounding and super abundant? And the answer is, God forbid. Let it not be so. So that's the problem that had to be dealt with right off the bat. Now let's go secondly to the picture that God wants us to experience with a new life every day. And it's going to be found in verse 4, okay? Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, here we come to a wonderful passage that teaches us about what happens to us when we get saved. And it tells us that we are buried with him by baptism. Amazing words. And I believe this verse is speaking not only of water baptism, but something even deeper than that. It is speaking about, listen now, your immersion, your full identity in Jesus Christ as a result of salvation. The word baptize is speaking of being fully immersed and identified with Christ when you are saved. And so we see here that we are not merely legally declared justified, but we are to be living an identifiable relationship with Jesus Christ. You ever hear them use that term immersed, and they'll say something like this. You know, he went over there to China and just got immersed in the culture. You ever heard that saying? We hear politicians, and they'll be with certain ethnic groups, and they'll try to speak like they speak or act like they like. Sometimes it's fake, sometimes it's real. But I've been in certain foreign cultures where after a while, when I lived in Korea, we began to understand and we began to adapt, and you get immersed into the culture. Now, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are at that moment have the opportunity. You are buried with him, the Bible says. We are fused together, immersed deeply, 1 Corinthians 10 and 2, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud of the and in the Dead Sea, and did eat all with that same spiritual meat. So there is a picture here of our union with Christ, and then of course it speaks, I believe, of water baptism, the fact that we are buried with him, we are identified with him in water baptism. So let's break that apart. Let's look, first of all, at being buried with Christ. Verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism. We participate with him in his death and burial and resurrection. We're identifying. We are immersed in this. Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So when you are saved, Jesus Christ comes into your life, and you are immersed in identification with him through the Spirit. His death is now your death. His burial is now your burial. His resurrection is your resurrection. And when you get baptized, you're giving a picture of that. I am buried with Christ. I am resurrected with Jesus Christ. So we were miraculously taken back to the work of the cross when we got saved. And everything that happened at the cross is now fully brought into my life, and I'm identifying with it. I'm immersed in it. I am his and he is mine, Christ in me, the hope of glory. And until we get a hold of that fact that the resurrected Christ now lives in us, we're not going to have new life every day. But when we can go back to the cross and realize, whoa, the implications of that cross, the work of that cross 2,000 years ago, are in me now. Then we can be awakened and alive to what Jesus Christ has done. There's a great difference between realizing on that cross Jesus was crucified for me, or saying on that cross I am crucified with him. In other words, what happened at that cross is something that you fully identify with, you are fully immersed with, Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. So if you're saved this morning, the Spirit of God has come into your life, and you are fully identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are buried with him in baptism. Now, certainly, that is also referencing our water baptism. We who have been buried with Christ through salvation. Is everybody with me this morning? Those of us who have been buried with Christ in salvation, because when we are saved, we're identifying with his death, burial, and resurrection. When we are buried with Christ in baptism, now in identification, now through water baptism, we're just picturing it. We're just showing the world outside that I have been crucified with Christ. I identify with the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And just like I wear that wedding ring this morning to say, I identify with Terry Lynn chapel over here, and I've identified as her husband, and I'm proud to do that. When someone gets baptized, they're just saying, I am thankful to identify with what Jesus did for me, and I am totally immersed in this. I'm not just a kind of a, you know, Christmas and Easter Christian. This is who I am. I'm immersed in it. I identify with it, with the death, the burial, and the resurrection. I am buried with him. When he was buried, I was buried. The old man was dealt with. Sin was conquered at the cross of Jesus Christ. Buried with him. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead. So secondly, I am raised with him. I am raised with him. So a lot of people will celebrate the resurrection, but they're not living the resurrection. They're going to celebrate history, but Jesus says, I want you to have new life today. I don't want you just to celebrate what I did back then. I want you to live it every day, the resurrected presence of Christ, to reckon it, to espouse it, to identify with it, to live with it, to be immersed with it, raised with him. Now listen to me this morning. You don't just bring Jesus into your old life. Getting saved is not just bringing Jesus into your own old life. Getting saved is death to the old life, and it is being raised up into the new life of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1 and 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So we're raised with him. We're raised with him positionally. And here in Ephesians, we read in chapters 1 and 2 about our acceptance in the Beloved. And he has raised us up and made us to sit together in heavenly places. And yes, it is true that when we truly are identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, we can now understand what it means to be loved and to be accepted and to have that place with him positionally. And then we begin to practice the new life. New life functions internally. We are living the new life from the inside out. Death and life are not compatible. You cannot mix them. If you are saved, you are alive, and you are to live out the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. We share in the death of Christ in order to share in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So when he died, then the old sinful Adamic nature was crucified. When he died, our sins were forgiven, yes, but more than that, the Adamic nature, the power of Satan, the power of sin to hold you enslaved to that sin, it died there at the cross of Jesus. And when he rose again, then we have now power to live that wonderful Christian life. And yes, it's true, you can't live it, but Jesus in you can live it through you, right? He will work a good work in and through you. So the problem, can I just keep sinning since I'm under grace? God forbid. The picture is this, that if we are identified and immersed with Christ, and as we show in our baptism, the old man is dead, the new man, Jesus, is alive in me. That's the picture that we want to focus on in new life every day. Then notice, thirdly, the promise. The promise of verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Now, this is just awesome. I want you to read it with me, okay? Verse number 5, Romans chapter 6. Let's read it together. Ready, begin. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. One more time. For if... So when you got saved spiritually, you identified with the death, burial, and resurrection. How many of you believe this? No one gets saved until they hear the gospel. Are we on the same page there? You heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. You believed it. At that moment, you identified with it. You were spiritually immersed with the gospel. And if we believe that we are dead in Christ, then we are also going to be raised up. So the promise is this, letter A, we will be raised. Now, the Bible says this, that knowing this, that our old man is, verse 5 rather, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, then we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. So, we have been planted. That means when you are saved, you are again planted, immersed, identified with Jesus Christ. His death, but also his burial and also his resurrection. This term here, raised, refers to a future resurrection harvest of the people of Jesus Christ. The pattern of resurrection that began with Jesus, who is the first fruits of our resurrection. Notice in your notes, 1 Corinthians 15:23. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after they that are Christ at his coming. Christ the first fruits. Would you say that with me this morning? Christ. One more time. Christ. So here we see this morning that we have the wonderful privilege of being raised someday. Now, folks, how many of you have been out to the poppy fields? Let me see your hands. Come on, how many of you have been out there? No wonder there's been so much traffic out there. I mean, yesterday morning, Terry and I were over here in Palmdale, somewhat by Little Rock, up in the hills. And Terry said, honey, look. And I don't know how far the poppy fields would be from there, but I'm going to say 20 miles minimum. And the hills were blazing orange. I mean, it's unbelievable what God's done out there. How many of you are glad we serve such a powerful God? Just unbelievable. One guy got so excited, he landed his helicopter in the poppy fields. They tried to arrest him, but they couldn't catch him. It's a true story. But here's the truth of it. Sometime, perhaps many years ago, there was a seed that fell into the ground. And that seed died there. And nobody knows when the rains are going to come like they came this year. But that seed that was totally immersed in the soil, that seed that was totally engulfed, buried, identified in the soil, in God's time, was resurrected into a beautiful, beautiful harvest. And we look at it and we behold it and we say, how beautiful. But I want to tell you something. When you got saved, you placed your heart and your life into the care of Jesus Christ, and you believed in the death, burial, and resurrection, and you identified with what Jesus did. And when you said, Lord, come into my life, and you called on him to be your Savior, you were identifying with his death and his burial and his resurrection, and you were saying, I believe that you're the first fruits, and because you are saved, one day, just as sure as those poppies came up this year, you're going to rise, my friend. You're going to be resurrected, and you're going to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in heaven. Because you are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what verse 5 is saying. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And so we will be raised. And because of that, we can be victorious. Notice in verse 6 what the Bible says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So you can be victorious. It doesn't say you'll never sin, but it says this, you're not going to be the servant of sin if you are under grace. If you have Jesus, if you have the victory of Jesus, then you don't have to serve sin anymore. Death has been defeated and sin has been defeated. You see, listen, salvation is not addition. It is transformation, my friend. Salvation is not just adding Jesus to the old. It is the killing. It is the death of the power of Satan in your life. Being a Christian is not getting something new. It is becoming someone new. And that is where the victory is every day, in identifying with who you are in Jesus Christ. And that's why several years ago, I chose Galatians 2:20 as my life's verse. Because I realized anew and afresh, there's no way to finish this life, this Christian life, in my own strength. It must be done in his strength. And that's why I want you to look at it this morning, Galatians 2:20, because this is what it says. I am crucified with Christ. I mean, when he died, the old nature died. I'm going to immerse myself in that truth. I'm going to identify with that truth. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And by the way, that's a wonderful thing too. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And that is how you can have new life every day, is if you say, Lord, I'm crucified with you. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. I don't want it to be me anymore. I want this to be Christ in me. I want Christ to live his life through me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And if you wake up tomorrow morning and say, Lord, I don't want myself to live this life. I want you to live this life through me because, Lord, I died when you died and the old ways and tendencies are there and the victory of sin over me is dead. So, Lord, live through me today because I want to have new life today. I don't want to live the old life and just claim grace as my get out of jail free card. I want my life to be different today. I want you to be glorified in my life today. And yes, Lord, when I do sin, and I will, because it says in 1 John that I will, I'm going to come to you, Lord, and I'm going to confess that. And Lord, I'm going to seek sweet fellowship with you if I've grieved you, because I don't want to take advantage of the love and grace of my God. I know he accepts me. I know he affirms me. I know he delights in me. But I don't want to take advantage of the love of my God. The old man is crucified. Now we live to serve him. Do you see that, my friend? The Bible's very clear about it, that we, according to Philippians 2 and verse 12, are to obey not only in his presence, the apostle said, but now much more in his absence, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we should aspire to claim the logical and ethical implications of the gospel. But more than that, we should live the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to understand it. It's another thing to say, Lord, let your life live out through mine. My old life, my sinful nature was defeated at the cross, and I want to live your resurrected life even today. And yes, sin will crop up, but we, according to the Bible in Ezekiel 36, have a new and a holy life, and we have a new heart, and we have a new creation within us, and we are new men and new women. And according to Revelation 2 and 17, we have a new name. And according to Psalm 40, we sing a new song. Hey, you don't have to live the old life today. You can live the new life of Jesus Christ today. Because Jesus Christ lives in you, and the implications of his death, burial, and resurrection should be real to us. The new life is not a life of ignoring God's truth, nor is it a life of living in my own strength. The new life is Christ living through me. This morning we've seen a problem, the problem that's creeping into Christianity today, that somehow the gospel and grace just liberates me to live the way I want to live. No, God forbid. Yes, you're accepted. Yes, you're loved. But it's not your get out of jail free card. You don't just take it that way as a license. No, that's a problem. You see, the fact of the matter is, the picture is this, that you and I who have been saved, then the old life is buried and the new life is alive in the Spirit. Don't get mad at your Sunday school teacher for hitting your wrist or get and come to some crazy extreme over here, but just come to this place. Jesus, live through me, and Spirit of God, awaken me to your righteousness today and help me to live the commandments of the Word of God. Don't say, well, Jesus lived them for you. Celebrate grace. See you later. No. Lord, I want you to live through me each and every day for your glory. That's the real new life that God has for us. And I pray that we'll experience that as believers. And let me say this. There might be someone here today who's saying, well, I don't understand any of this about the new life. And here's why. You've never been saved in the first place. You've never been born again spiritually. You've never had that moment where life began. You see, what I've been talking about all morning is the fact that something began at the cross for us. And that we need to identify with what happened at the cross, not only for our justification, but also for sanctification. But there might be someone here who's never been justified. They've never had their sins forgiven. They've never had this record set straight. And if you're here without Jesus as your Savior, then let it begin today by trusting Jesus Christ to save you from your sin. And he will do that for you.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com.
We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.